Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. So this is episode 100 of the Gut Goddess Show. Welcome, welcome. And this week I'm going to be talking about how you can feel good every day. And so these are some of the lessons and key principles that I have, I suppose, learned, relearned, or been really solidified since recording and making 100 episodes of this show and many, actually, more podcasts. Because this podcast was another podcast before it became this one. Anyway, I've been actually podcasting for like 3 or 4 years. But that is what we're going to be talking about. So I'm going to be sharing with you, I think it's about 4 or 5 of the key points that with every client, with every person I work with myself, I constantly come back to these 5 things that move the needle when it comes to me waking up every day and feeling good. In the fullest, most holistic sense, that feeling good in my body and feeling confident, feeling good in my energy, feeling good in my mind with clarity and focus, feeling good in my energy levels, in that full scope. So that's what we're going to be looking at today, is how you can feel good every day and the 5 things that I really do come back to. But otherwise, we've made it to episode 100. I mean, that's mighty impressive. That's basically 2 years worth of plus of episodes. I did actually no longer because I took a break when I had my son. But thank you for listening. So those of you that have started listening to the podcast recently, welcome. There's lots of episodes for you to catch up on. And some of you maybe have been listening from the start. In which case, I would love to know if you are that person. Send me a DM on Instagram and just be like, I've been listening to you from the start, Kezia. I do love doing this podcast, but it is just me in my home office with my little microphone. And I do sometimes just think I'm just happily talking to myself in my front room, which is basically what I'm doing, let's be honest. So I'm so glad that you take time, and I do really take your time and your listening to heart, and I really, I kind of take it seriously. Time is one of our most precious resources, and the fact that you would spend time with me here in this podcast, I do really value that. And my intent is to make every podcast episode as helpful, practical as possible. I hope you know, I like to mix up a bit, but the goal for each episode is that there's some really practical takeaways. And this one is going to be no different, but I just want to take some moments to celebrate getting this far. I love doing this podcast. And if you like this podcast, if you're like, yeah, Kezia, I do really like this podcast. I listen every time, you know, a new episode comes up. I would love it if you would share it with your friends. Maybe take a picture of it, share it on Facebook, screenshot it, put it on Instagram. Or email it to a couple of friends who you think might enjoy it. I would love to grow this podcast. I'm amazed at how many people already listen, but I would love for more people to listen and get the knowledge and get educated and equipped and the resources that they need so that they can wake up every day and feel really good. That is kind of the mission behind everything that I do. I think having spent so long feeling so rubbish, the idea that I could maybe help someone feel better is what drives everything that I do, in terms of I don't want anyone out there to be struggling needlessly and thinking I'm alone in this. I don't know what to do. I'm just stuck crapping myself for years, or not having periods, or I can't do anything about my infertility, or whatever it is, when there's actually so much more we can do than we realize. And that's what this podcast is for. It's hopefully to give you that nudge, that encouragement, and the information and the education, actually, that you're more powerful than you could ever realize. Your choices that you make, the foods that you eat, the environment that you live in is so powerful in terms of you feeling the way you want to feel and you creating the life that you want to create. And so I hope that really comes across. And that is my mission. I want more people to know how powerful they are, really. I know that sounds a little bit like, I don't know, a little bit cheesy, but it's true. Okay, couple of things. If you've been listening to this podcast for the last 100 episodes and you have not done the Gut Goddess quiz, the online health assessment that I created, then make sure you head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org/quiz, or the link will be in the show notes as well. It's a great online assessment. If you're like, yeah, Kezia, I'm a bit bloated, I'm a bit tired, and I used to diet all the time, and I don't really know where to start. Start with the quiz. That will kind of give you a specific profile unique to you, and then give you a bit of a follow-up plan after that. So do make sure you do that if you haven't done that already. Also, I have a Facebook group that you can find. You'll get invited to that actually once you have done the quiz. So do join me in that Facebook group. And if you have been listening to this for ages and you've been thinking, oh, Kezia, I'm really wanting to work with you, but you've just been putting it off because maybe you struggle to invest in yourself, or there's always some bill coming in, or I don't know, whatever. We often make lots of excuses for things. Then I would love to work with you. Head over to keziahall.com or supernaturallyhealthy.org. Both take you to the same place. And just click the work with me page, book a call, and we can just chat. So there's no like pressure. Just chat and see if it's the right timing for you. See what kind of program you would need to feel the way you want to feel. So just so you know, I am running out of spaces. 4 clients, have a couple left, and then we'll need to create a wait list. So if you want to get started with me ASAP, then get in touch. Otherwise, thank you for listening to this show and to any other shows that you've listened to. I really value your time. And let's get on with the rest of today's episode. So how can you wake up feeling good every day and not like, zombie getting dressed and, you know, making packed lunches and making breakfast? What are some of the keys? What are some of the foundations or the secrets to that? That's what I'm going to be sharing with you today after thinking about the last 100 episodes that I have recorded, which is basically the last 2.5 years of my life. More than that, maybe 3 years. What are some of these key principles and foundations that I keep on coming back to with myself, with my clients? What are the key things that really move the needle? So I'm going to be sharing these 5 things with you. There's other things that I could think of for sure, but for brevity's sake, I'll keep it to 5. And these are things I keep on coming back to time and time again that can really help you to move the needle. So let's dive in. Okay, the first one, and I'd maybe say this is the most important, maybe not, we'll see, is mindset. So what I mean by this is the thoughts that you're thinking and the way that you are thinking. Now, this might be a bit like, well, Kezia, I've got IBS. I mean, what has that got to do with it? It's actually got everything to do with it. It might be like, Kezia, I have endometriosis. Like, I mean, I can't. You know, I'm not going to posit, let's say, affirmation myself to feeling better. And I totally get that. But it's really important that there's a couple of mindset shifts that take place in order for you to really get the results that you want to get, to change what you want to change, to heal what you want to heal. Actually involves quite a lot of mindset shifts and really being aware of the thoughts that you're thinking. So first mindset shift I find is that you are the one in charge. Now, this is, for some of you might be like, of course I am. And for others of you, this is a mindset shift actually that still needs to happen, because often culturally and how we grow up and the times that we live in, we often actually don't get told in terms of our health that we are the ones in charge. We often have to feel like we abdicate power to a hierarchy, to a medical hierarchy that happens where they tell us that they know our bodies better than we do, that they have more knowledge about our lives, our symptoms than we do. So we often feel like we just growing up have had to abdicate this responsibility for ourselves, this knowing of ourselves, to someone else who obviously knows about us because they've had training and access to databases and textbooks. Whereas I think it's really important as you head onto this health journey, if you want to change anything in your health, whether that's just waking up and feeling more energized, or maybe you have more your diagnoses going on, hyperthyroid, maybe chronic fatigue, endometriosis, struggling to get pregnant, whatever it is, whatever the outcome that you're looking towards in terms of how you want to feel every day and feeling good every day, the first thing actually is to remember that every day you're the one in charge of it. Now, that doesn't mean you can control everything in the world. Doesn't mean you've got the master controller of everything. No, we can't control everything. But you are the one in charge in terms of what you do, how you think, what you meditate on, what you eat. There is some things that you are in charge of. You can't control everything, but there is some really important things that you are powerful in. And it's often more, we're more powerful than we think, really. And the choices that we make are huge. And the next mindset shift that I have been learning loads, probably just even in the last 6 months, this has been really like blowing my mind, is just how much our thoughts impact our biochemical reality. So for example, what I mean by that is we can just be like, oh, I'm just an anxious person. I just have a lot of anxiety and we just feel anxious a lot. Like, you know, we're like, however that feels, that feeling in your tummy. You might get panic attacks, you might get whatever. But actually all of those feelings are a biochemical reality in your body. So the thoughts that you are thinking actually have a massive impact in terms of your cellular health in your body. I know that can might feel like a bit of a jump, but we often have this idea that we have our emotional self and then separate from that, we have our physical bodies. We have this separation, whereas actually you are one being, one person, one soul, one set of cells, one body. And your body is part of, your cells are part of what produces your emotions. So there is not that separation. You are fully intertwined with that. And when you can start to really think about that, then actually one of the first things you want to do to feel good every day is to get really intentional and aware of the thoughts that are going on in your mind. Now, that does not mean you just become like, I don't know, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to fake positive all day. Positive, positive, positive. No, it means you become aware of the thoughts and look at them and take some time to really understand them and work through them. So I found a coach called Brooke Castillo that she has a book called The Self-Coaching 101 that talks about this more thoroughly. And I have found it so helpful in this past year, where she basically just talks about how our thoughts kind of can help create our reality, even if we're just talking from a cellular level. So if you're constantly thinking, oh, I've got that work presentation today, and you kind of meditate on that, your anxiety is going to rise. And that feeling of rising anxiety is a hormonal shift in your body. It's an actual physical shift that is happening within your cells that's causing that feeling of anxiety or worry or fear or stress or whatever it is that you're feeling. So if we can actually, instead of just spending time going, I should be less anxious, and actually take it one step back and go, okay, what are these thoughts that I keep on having? And can I change these thoughts? Because these thoughts are producing these feelings of anxiety, of stress, of sadness, of loneliness, of despair, of depression, of apathy, whatever the feeling is that you have regularly. Let's look at those thoughts and maybe change the thoughts first. So that, I think, has been really helpful. But even just realizing that the thoughts that you have an impact on your biology is really eye-opening. I mean, I feel like I'm maybe a bit slow to come to this conclusion, but that's literally the last year. I'm like, whoa, actually, I need to have a really careful look at the thoughts that are popping up, because you have lots of thoughts every day and a lot of the thoughts that you have will be recurring, and sometimes they'll be a little bit under the surface as well. You're not sitting there consciously going, I'm such a loser, I'm such a failure, but that might be like the soundtrack going on in your thought life throughout the day. And until you change that, you're maybe not going to be able to change your energy, because you feel like you're a loser. So that's not an energizing, even just me saying that, you can feel how unenergizing that is. You're a failure. That's not like, that doesn't fill me with energy when I say it. So you can see how if you're constantly having the soundtrack of unhelpful thoughts, that's actually going to impact your hormones. It's going to impact your cells. It's going to impact your energy production. And it's a really huge area. There's also another great author called Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza, who writes some books on this. I've listened to a couple of his audiobooks. Really helpful. He comes at it more from a science perspective, which is sometimes helpful, as opposed to some of this stuff can be quite woo-woo and feel quite new agey and can be sometimes hard to grasp onto. But he kind of talks about it just more from like a neuroscience perspective and how that impacts the body. And that's really helpful. So if you're a bit like, Kezia, this is all sounding a little bit kind of just think better thoughts and whatever, Dr. Joe Dispenza is a great one to read. And that book, Self-Coaching 101 by Brooke Castillo, she also has a good podcast called The Life Coach School, is also a great one. She's quite no-nonsense. She's not particularly spiritual, should we say. Like, it's not like a new agey podcast. It's actually just pretty practical stuff. So first thing, if you want to feel good every day, you cannot ignore the thoughts going on in your head. Okay, so it's so easy to be like, oh, I feel terrible. I'm hyperthyroid. Need to lose weight. I'm really exhausted. I've got an IBS. Right, okay, I'm just going to think about just the foods that I'm eating. But if you might make changes to the way that you're eating, but if 24/7 you're just thinking and worrying and thinking about how you shouldn't have said that to so-and-so, and oh, your body and your belly, it's so ugly and you're so fat, and you can see how that is going to impact your cells on a daily basis. You know, it's, we're not these disconnected beings. We are fully connected, living in a fully connected experience. And so you cannot abandon the thoughts that you are having are a kind of food for your body every day. So yes, you want to work on nutrition, but you also want to work on the other types of food that you're feeding your body every day. And thinking about it that way might be helpful, of like, okay, if every thought is a bit of food for my body, are my thoughts junk food or are they whole foods? You know, you could almost think about it in that metaphor, and that might be really helpful. But that's a really important thing. And I often see clients that come to me often have really grasped onto some of the nutritional aspects, which is great. And they've researched that. They might have gotten slightly obsessive, to be honest, about that. And what actually needs to be rebalanced with also this awareness of this other type of food being your thoughts, this metaphorical food of the thoughts that you are thinking. How are you feeding your cells every day with the thoughts that you're thinking? Because your thoughts will impact and have a biochemical response, which, you know, we all know. If you are absolutely terrified and scared to do something, say you hate public speaking and you've got to give a big speech at work in front of 100 people, you are probably going to rush to the toilet, aren't you? Your heart might pound a little bit. Maybe if you're inclined to panic attacks, you might have a panic attack, hopefully not. But you know, these are all cellular responses to that feeling of fear. So this isn't as weird as it sounds. It happens all the time, but we often only think about it in these more extreme examples. Whereas what I'm saying is throughout the day, in little moments, this can be happening. Those thoughts can be feeding your cells as the day goes on, which is why in the morning, I am often really protective of a certain amount of time where I really have to look at, okay, what thoughts are going through my head? Okay, let's look at them. Let's honor them. Let's feel them. Okay, but are they helping me? Are they food? Are they good food? Are they whole food thoughts for my body? Okay, nope, maybe they're not. Okay, let's look at a new thought that I'm going to replace that with. It's really, really helpful. So first thing, if you want to feel good every day, look at your mindset. First, know that you are the one in charge, that you could say there isn't a hierarchy, but if there is a hierarchy when it comes to your health, you are at the top of it, and you should be. And then coming to help you should be these amazing doctors and healthcare providers and conventional medicine folk and holistic folk like me coming to help you with that. But you are the one who knows your body, and ultimately you are the one who is responsible for the bits that you are responsible for. And then obviously your thoughts can become your biochemical reality. So that's number one. Number two is your body, your rules. So this is more of a mindset or approach, or more of a dietary, actually. This is more of a dietary approach in a way, and a mindset shift, in that the more I've worked with men and women, mainly women, but also some men. Hi guys, if you're listening, you are welcome here, even though I talk a lot about periods. The more I've worked with people who have come to me with challenging things, Hashimoto's, diverticulitis, endometriosis, fertility issues, whatever it is, that they are coming with me. So often people can get a bit stuck by the rules of diets. So people might come to me and whatever it is, whether it's Whole30, whether it's paleo, whether it's Weight Watchers, whether it's Slimming World, whether it's being vegan, whether it's being vegetarian, whether it's being whatever the dietary structure is, it's really important that your body tells you what to follow rather than you telling your body the dietary construct it needs to be in. So for example, you could be coming to me and maybe you've read a lot about paleo or ketogenic. That's really popular at the moment, the ketogenic high fat, low carb diet. And you could be like, Kezia, I've read all this amazing stuff about being keto. I went keto 3 months ago and I read it can help with this and this and all this research. It's going to be so good. I'm going to lose weight. It's going to help with my energy. And so you kind of adhere to this external set of boundaries. But actually after 3 months, 4 months, you are feeling pretty grim. You've maybe gained weight. You are just not, you kind of got, still got keto flu, as it's called. You're kind of just not feeling it. And you keep on waiting to get over to that point that everyone talks about where they feel amazing, but you've just not there yet. And but you think, all right, I maybe just need to keto harder. I just need to eat more fat. I need to eat less carbs. Maybe I'll track my macronutrients. Maybe I need to do some more weight training. Maybe I need to, you know, I just need to do this diet harder, is often the response. Instead, what I'm suggesting is that the most important thing is that you listen to your body and you give your body what it needs. And this is harder to do. It's much easier to just say, I'm paleo, I'm vegan, I'm veg, like I'm following this dietary construct, than it is to go, okay, body, what do you need? And this is something I'm still working through myself. I've even like 3 years, I think 3 or 4 years ago, I was doing a ketogenic diet for probably like 9 months and it did not work for me at all. But I kept on doing it and that was my response. I should just do it harder instead of, this isn't working for me. I gained weight. My periods went funny. I actually became the heaviest I'd been in a really long time in terms of weight wise. I just, my periods went odd. I didn't feel great. But what did I do? I just did the diet harder instead of going, okay, body, what do you need? What is going to make you feel good? Rather than, okay, let's follow this external thing, which is why this is called your body, your rules. I don't mind you having rules around foods that you eat and creating your own dietary boundaries. I have really clear dietary boundaries. I do not eat gluten, really. I do not eat lots of cow's milk. I do not eat cow's yogurt. I do not eat high amounts of refined sugar. I try every day to eat lots of healthy fats, healthy proteins, healthy carbs. I try to eat as many vegetables as I can. I have a lot of clear food rules, should we say, or bound. I prefer to call them boundaries because I don't like rules, but these things that I choose to create, but they're not, they're things that have come from my body. They're not these external things from a diet that I am then imposing. Do you see the difference? So you can look out there and be like, I'm going to be keto. I'm going to be vegan. This is also, I see this a lot with vegans that will come to me and they're like so stuck to it, attached to adhering to that diet. They overrule what their body is telling them in order to stick to that diet harder. Now with veganism, I can understand that because it's also more of a lifestyle choice. There's ethical aspects, there's moral aspects to that. So within veganism and even vegetarian, I can understand that approach. But still, ultimately, I would then question, why do you, is it healthy if you're needing to override what your body really needs? So meaning you could be really, really struggling with low iron, low B12, low zinc, low various different things, because maybe you've been vegetarian for 10 years and you're just not going to get enough of those things, especially if you are a menstruating woman who maybe has heavy periods. You're just not going to get enough iron and B12 and those kinds of things in. So that's why I call this your body, your rules. I do think you should have food boundaries in place, but I don't want you to create those boundaries based on this external diet and then force yourself to follow them. You first start with your body. What does your body need? And that's where I come in and help, because I know this is harder. Or you do, you, or often I see clients do it, and how I've done it is that you often pick a dietary approach, and then over time you kind of merge out of it and you create your own type of flavor, which is why now I wouldn't say I'm a paleo eater. I'm not vegetarian. I don't have any of these labels. I eat in the way that works well for my body, but it's your body and your rules. Do not force your body to follow a diet that does not feel good for the sake of following a diet, because you, there's these vegetarian rules, or these, you know, you might be a vegetarian, but actually sometimes you really crave salmon. Then eat salmon. You can be vegetarian the rest of the time, but maybe 3, 4, 5 times a month you eat salmon, and then that's fine. You know, listen, let your body pave the way. Don't spend time stressing about how well you're sticking to this diet, how hard you're doing keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, whatever it is. Okay? Okay, so that is number two. In terms of feeling good every day, your body, your rules. Okay. Right. Number three. Now, this is more of a super practical thing. I know those last two things, you're like, right, well, those are quite bigger picture stuff. And you know me, I'm super, I was going to call myself practical. What name begins with P? Practical Patricia. I like things to be practical. So number three is super practical, and that's breakfast. If you want to feel good every day, and the idea of changing all your meals and snacks and your entire diet can feel a little bit overwhelming, if you're like, oh my goodness, Kezia, I don't know where to begin with that, start with breakfast. I honestly think if you can find the right breakfast for you, you can really set yourself up for success for the rest of the day. It's really that powerful. So I often say to clients to run a breakfast experiment, and I am always actually amazed at the different results they get. Some clients are like, whoa, I feel so much better having a savory cooked breakfast. Some clients fall in love with green smoothies. Other clients are like, you know what? Porridge actually fills me up right up until lunchtime. It gives me the most energy. I feel best doing that. So, but figuring out if you want to get the best ROI, so return of your investment, if you're going to spend time in any aspect of your meals or what you're eating in the day, I would say you want to spend time on breakfast first and figuring out what breakfast makes you feel best throughout the day. Now, as women, you might have different breakfasts that suit you for different parts of your cycle, for sure. So there might be certain times in your cycle where you are, where porridge feels best, and certain times in your cycle where maybe eggs feel best. But that's kind of advanced, that's level two. So we'll not get into that. But the first thing you want to do is just, and I often get clients do this. I've had a client do this at the moment, a couple of them in fact, is for 3 or 4 days, you eat a type of breakfast, let's say porridge. And you have porridge for 3 or 4 days, you add some walnuts to it, you add maybe some seeds, some nut butter, you maybe make it up with coconut milk, or making sure there's some fats and proteins in there, but you have porridge. Have that for 3 or 4 days, just know how you feel, check in with your body, just see if you're hungry. Are you hungry 2 hours later, an hour later? How hungry are you at lunch? How's your afternoon hunger? Are you needing to snack at night? Check in with yourself. Then, after that, for another 4 days, have a totally different breakfast. Something like an omelette or scrambled eggs and avocado, or a more cooked breakfast or a more savory breakfast. And again, see how you feel. See how your body responds. And then after that, the fourth experiment, you could always try something like a green smoothie. So always make sure you add enough protein and fat if you're going to have a green smoothie as a meal. But have that in the morning and see how you feel. And you can replace these foods with different things. But run a bit of an experiment and see what makes you feel good. Because I honestly think if you can get a breakfast that feels good for you, you've really set yourself up for success. Not just from a biochemical blood sugar perspective, but also from a mindset perspective. Because if you can have that green smoothie or that scrambled eggs in the morning, you're like, yeah, I've nailed it. Like, I've had a great breakfast. I'm set up for the day and I'm feeling good. A note with that as well, there's lots of information out there about intermittent fasting as well. So often women will ask me, should I skip breakfast? Or they tell me that they are skipping breakfast. So that's generally not something I recommend. I do not recommend for women, especially menstruating women, to skip breakfast really ever. I That doesn't mean to say it's not going to work for you. Just from my experience with clients, it tends to stress out our hormones more, often lead to more snacking in the afternoons, and can make women quite wired and a little bit, the stress response can make them quite like on edge, if that makes sense, and not be great for their adrenal health or their thyroid health. So, but again, you could experiment with that if you want to. How I generally tend to recommend intermittent fasting to clients, if they want to do it, which most of the time I don't, is if they just need to eat dinner earlier. So maybe finish their dinner at 5 and then have breakfast at like 8:30, 9 the next day. That would generally be how I'd recommend that. So, but getting your breakfast. I'm always amazed with my clients and with myself. I've got one client at the moment. We've just switched up her breakfast. She's been doing a breakfast experiment and just her morning routine basically we've been working on in terms of her breakfast, making sure she's getting hydrated. And even just focusing on that, guys, she's like, wow, I've lost weight. I'm feeling better. I'm drinking more water. And she's just feeling good. So this does sound potentially patronizingly simple, but it is really powerful. Okay, so that is number 3 in terms of how you can feel good every day. Number 4 is sleep. So I would say sleep is as equally important as the food you are eating. Potentially, research say maybe more so. But if you're really looking at the key foundations for how you're going to be feeling good every day, I would say you've got nutrition. I'd say you've got the thoughts that you're thinking, so your mindset, and I would say sleep. I'd say those are the really 3 pillars that if you're like consistently not feeling great, if you're feeling sluggish, if you're struggling in any way to feel good in the day, there's probably something going on with one of those 3. Something going on with your food, something going on with your thoughts, something going on with your sleep. Now, I'll do more podcasts on sleep specifically in future because this is something I am geeking out about this year 100%. My focus is to really optimize my sleep as much as I can in 2020 because I've recognized that my sleep maybe hasn't been of the highest of qualities in the previous years, which would make sense for all my health issues. And it's actually probably started when I was a child. I have good reason to believe that my sleep was not optimal and not fabulous as a child, due to lots of snoring and jaw issues and mouth lock and all of those kinds of things. So sleep, really important. So number 1, we often think of sleep as quantity of sleep. So that does matter. Quantity of sleep does matter, but also your quality of sleep matters. So if you're in a position where maybe you have a newborn or you are just struggling with the quantity of sleep, then you can actually work on the quality of sleep, which is really encouraging. You do obviously want both, but equally, if you might be more like me where you're getting 7 or 8 hours, but you feel exhausted, well, then that's telling you you're not having the best quality of sleep. And I'm going to dive into this more in future episodes, but prioritizing sleep, getting to bed, not just falling asleep in front of the TV or just getting in front of blue light is really important. That's, if you take one thing, one practical thing from this, shield your eyes from the blue light. We are exposed to so much blue light in the day. So if you watched Netflix on your computer like I do, make sure you have nighttime mode on if you have a Mac, or you can download an app called Flux that will filter out the blue light. Make sure on your phone you either have an app, or if you have an Apple product, nighttime mode, you have that on the warmest setting to filter out the blue light from like 6 o'clock onwards. You want to turn the lights low in your house. You don't want all the bright lights blaring. Maybe think about candles, non-toxic candles, please. Your cheap IKEA ones are super toxic. You do not want to be filling your home with them. But maybe some beeswax tea lights, low, dim your lights down, put some lamps on. And really, really controlling the light in the evening is actually surprising in how effective that can be improving your quality of sleep. I've been testing it out while I've been tracking my REM sleep and improving that. And when I control the amount of blue light I have, I sleep better. So the more blue light I'm exposed to before bed, the less REM sleep I get. The more I control that in the evening, the better REM sleep I have. So it's really, really powerful. The sleep you have is so important and is one of those things in terms of ROI, return of your investment. Investing a little bit of thought and intention into getting good quality sleep, the benefit, the return you're going to get on that little bit of headspace is phenomenal. And we know that from research. You know, we know things like people that end up with Alzheimer's often, it's because part, not the only reason, but poor REM sleep is contributing to that. Inability to lose weight, metabolic diseases, often to do with sleeping disorders and poor quality sleep. So much. If you want to invest time in something, focus in on your sleep. It makes the world of difference. And I'm going to be sharing more resources as the year goes on. And the fifth thing I wanted to share, that again is something I've been learning more about probably in this last year in terms of feeling really good, is this idea of what I'm just summarizing as body work. So what I've shared with you already, you know, I've talked about sleep, just talked about that, talked about nutrition, the foods that you eat, talked about the thoughts that we're thinking. But I have been more aware in the last year of the importance of really kind of looking after our physical body, but also regularly, where possible, getting work done to our body. That makes it sound like plastic surgery. I don't mean that. But where we really look after our literal, like, I'm shaking my arms here, like muscles and flesh. And what I mean by that, so you're like, body work? What the heck? What do you mean? Plastic surgery? Like a car? I don't know. But what I mean by body work, so the best way to describe this to you is an example. So I've always had a lot of issues with my back, with my hip, and since having a child, since having my son, I had a lot of neck, shoulder. It was literally getting so painful from feeding and lifting, you know, all the things. So I went to see a chiropractor all through pregnancy. In the past, I've seen a lot of physios. Also in pregnancy, I went and got regular acupuncture, which was really helpful. And I started acupuncture because I had a really sore wrist and found that to be so helpful. So over the recent years, actually, I've been made more aware of how powerful this having someone work on your body can be, either through acupuncture or through massage. So more recently, I was like, oh, right, I've been to the chiropractor. Things are all, there's alignment there, but my muscles are just a bit buggered, to be honest. So I went and there was an offer on for a local massage place that did, I don't know, 7 massages for the price of 5 or something. So I just booked, to be honest, just put it on the credit card, and had a massage every week for about 2 months. And honestly, it made such a difference. Now, I historically have always felt things like massages and acupuncture are kind of these luxurious things. And yes, there is a money aspect to it, but there is other ways that you can do this without necessarily spending money. But just having someone literally like pound the knots out of my muscles, there was something so cleansing and clearing and helpful about that. Or with acupuncture, having someone literally kind of place very thin needles into you and force that fresh blood to those areas, force that movement of your immune system and all of that stuff to where the needles are, has been so helpful. So that's something I'm still learning more about. But I find that something I have ignored for most of my life is this aspect of body work. I've literally just been mainly in my head or obsessing about the food that I eat and actually kind of forgetting my body, unless it's kind of exercise. Then like I would think, you know, I would tick the box of my body with exercise, but not necessarily doing anything else to love it. So what could body work look like for you? So it might be things like going to the chiropractor, might be getting regular massages if you can, and put some money aside for that, and not thinking about it as like this luxury. Yes, it's not one of your core things you're going to budget necessarily because you need to buy food and your mortgage, but really shifting the mentality of, okay, of right, how am I looking after my physical body? Maybe it's acupuncture. Acupuncture is great if you've got back pain or fertility issues or that kind of thing. Maybe you need to go back to a physio. Or if you're like, Kezia, I don't necessarily have the budget for any of that right now, but maybe you have a partner, then maybe you trade massages. Maybe you have really stiff shoulders where you go, okay, honey, you do 15 minutes, I'll give you 15 minutes of a massage as well. Let's swap this round. Or foot massage. My partner Joe gives me lots of foot massages. Almost, he's not a reflexologist, but it just feels so therapeutic. If I'm in a long car journey and I'm not driving, I'll often just sit and give myself a foot massage. sometimes I'll remember oils and take them with me and just do that in a car because I'm not doing anything else. Foam rollers, they're a great thing to have. You can buy one of those really cheap and just foam roll around your legs and your back. It was so helpful in terms of that, is it myofascial? No, fascia. There we go. That's the word. All throughout the body, that kind of release. A foam roller is a great thing to have. I also have these little spiky balls that you can like lean against the wall to really get at knots. So there's loads of ways that you can do this completely free, but incorporating some sort of body work, like the easiest thing is just self-massage, getting someone else to massage you, a foam roller, one of these little myofascial release ball things. Stretching is a great one. Just doing a couple of stretches. You don't need to do like a full-on yoga sequence, but just some stretching and moving and just connecting with your body and going, hey body, thanks. Getting rid of that tension. Tension, again, is this like biochemical reality in your body with all your muscles, and you can just breathe into it. You can roll it out. It's so helpful to do it. And I found even recently, as I've been getting some regular massages, obviously, like, it's made the world of difference in terms of the pain and discomfort in my back and neck. It's like night and day. But it also has felt really cleansing. And like every time we've been working on more knots and creaks and stuff in my back, it's like something emotionally has been getting released with every massage that I have. Something more, something deeper is also kind of getting massaged out of me. So I really encourage you. It's something I'm learning more about. But again, if we're looking at this from a holistic perspective, we want to look at our thoughts, we want to look at our foods, we want to look at our physical bodies, you know, we want to look at our sleep, all of these different things. So that is another thing that I found really helpful. So those are my five kind of principles or foundations for feeling good as we are in episode 100. I hope those things help. So in terms of your action, or your takeaway from this podcast episode, I really would love you to think about, okay, what out of the five things I mentioned, which one really resonated with you? So you kind of felt, oh, I really felt that in my stomach or my heart or in my mind, or that one feels the most exciting to me. Which one of the, what, from what I've talked about, which one has felt the most exciting or like it resonates most with you? Maybe it's about sleep, maybe it's about breakfast, maybe it's about your thoughts. Just pick one. I don't want you to go away from this episode and be like, right, Kezia, I'm going to implement all five things in the next 5 days, because you won't, and that's not what's going to set you up for success. But your body will already know what the thing it needs. So just take a moment to be like, okay, which one did my ears perk up about? Of like, oh, interesting. Or which one did I really feel it or feel most conviction about or feel most challenged on? Or have a think about that. And I just want you to take action on that one thing and just become, the first step is just awareness. Like you might just say breakfast, the whole breakfast chat is the thing that resonated with you most. It might just be for the next week, you're just becoming more aware of what you actually have for breakfast and how you feel before you even make any changes. So awareness is the first step. And then I'd love you to take a small action. And any action that you take, I'd love you to let me know about it. So you can head over to Facebook or Instagram and just say, Kezia, I listened to your podcast. I've just downloaded the Flux app for my laptop to filter out the blue light in the evening. Whatever it is, remember these small steps that you take build up and create this phenomenal lifestyle shift where you feel good in yourself, where you know what you need to feel good every single day. It doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen necessarily with these big dramatic swings. It happens by you just going, okay, I'm just going to take one small shift at a time. That's all I'm doing, okay? Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I'm excited to bring you 100 more episodes. If you have any questions or if there's something you specifically want to see on this podcast, let me know. I create this podcast for you. I know that sounds cheesy, but that is why I don't sit talking to myself for kicks. I really want this to be a useful resource that helps, inspires, equips, and teaches you to live the life that you want to live. Okay. Have an amazing week. Head over to keziahall.com for all the resources that I talked about or to find out more about working with me. Otherwise, I will see you next week for episode 101 of The Good Goddess Show. Lots of love. Bye.